Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. It's weird. I feel like it's weird that mothers needed a day to call attention. Do you know what I'm saying? I feel like we should be doing a better job, like just as a culture and a society. Like we shouldn't have to name a day. I'm glad we did because then you get some attention, ladies. Not that you don't other times, but happy Mother's Day. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for the roles that you play in all of our lives. Thank you for the people that you touch and that you influence who may never say thank you. Thank you for the way that you pray things into existence in the lives of those that you love and you know, and how you pray things out of existence, out of those lives of the people that you know and you love. Thank you so much for all that you do. Okay, this is our last week of our Awaken series. In our first week, we talked about the problem, and the problem is this, that if we are not careful, we sleepwalk through life, and we sleepwalk through faith. We talked about that. We talked about how just the dailies can sort of consume all of your time. How church can be that one and only time when that living God part of you awakens. If you're not careful, you could just sort of cruise through your life. We talked about sleepwalking. Last week we talked about the only real power that can help you make a change, that can help to awaken you, that can wake you up and keep you awake. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's the only way that true change sticks. We talked about the filling of the Holy Spirit, how there can be for you an increase of that influence in your life, an increase of power in your life. And that increase makes it possible for you to be the person that you so desperately want to be, that person that follows God and loves God and speaks God and walks God throughout their lives, no matter where they are, that person who's fully integrated in their faith. This morning, I want you to awaken to the fact that there is potential. Talked about this a little bit last week. There's potential for you, if you're not careful, to go back to sleep. You ever fallen asleep in a place that you had no business falling asleep in? Has that ever happened for you before? Have you ever just awakened? You didn't know that sleep was in the next moments for you. You didn't know that was part of your day that day until you just awakened. I will never forget being in North Carolina and awakening with my forehead on my keyboard. Listen, don't judge me. Here's what happened. I had never worked an office job before. I'd never been in an office. I didn't know what office hours were, but as a part of this staff, I was a paid staff member, they had some expectations. And one of those expectations was that I would be in the office during office hours during the week. I had no idea what I was doing. I knew that what church was about. I knew that church was about preaching and teaching and singing and lesson preparation, and you were supposed to hang out with people. I had no idea. I was supposed to be there at 8:30 in the morning, and I didn't leave until 4:30. That's a long time for this guy to sit still. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm not trying to make excuses for myself. I'm not trying to say that my diagnosis of attention deficit means it's harder for me. I'm just telling you that for me to sit in one space for a long time and just stare at something, that's really hard. So after a while, it began to wear on me. And then one day, I just woke up, and I had QWERTY backwards on my forehead. Do you know what I'm saying? I just woke up with my head off of the keyboard. I didn't intend to fall asleep, but that's exactly what happened. I've just woken up. Okay, listen, children are a blessing. Let me start with my disclaimer. Children are a blessing. The Bible talks about how you grow and you reproduce and with the quiver and the arrows and how full is your quiver. And it's just wonderful. But man, can they take it out of you? You just don't realize how much of your emotional energy and how much of your psychological energy and how much of your physical energy goes into raising kids until you come home and you wake up on your couch with, like this guy, the remote in your hand, like your head just went back. And here's the thing, young people, y'all don't know this yet. I know this now. I wish I didn't. When you fall asleep in that position for any length of time, it's bad news. When you're young, you're just like, oh, let me get up and get on with my day. When you're older, you get up and you think, I'm going to call the chiropractor right away because I am out of whatever, and he's going to have to sublocate my subluxation thing. He's going to have to fix this because this is all I can do right now is stare at the ceiling. That's all I've got. It's crazy. I one time in college, I may have fallen asleep in the restroom. I won't give you all the details of that story because it's none of your business, but I will just say this. It says on the NyQuil bottle, take while in bed. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you don't believe me, read it. It says, take while in bed. There's a reason for that, folks. And if you've never taken it before, you need to experiment with people who are home who can care for you just in case things go wrong. Here is what I know. When you spend a night in the bathroom on the fixture that's designed for one particular purpose, when you wake up the next morning, a large portion of your body will have fallen asleep. Now, if you've ever had a hand or an arm fall asleep, you know, maybe a foot, that kind of thing. I want you to imagine that from here down. That's a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing. But fortunately, at 5:30 in the morning, I yelled long enough and loud enough that my roommate and a member of the basketball team came and picked me up and dragged me up and down the halls until I had movement and feeling again in my lower half. Sometimes you just fall asleep when you least expect it. I remember driving home, and I waited until too late. See, I was a procrastinator. I know this may shock you. I was a procrastinator for a large portion of my life. Still am a little bit. And so I was in college in North Carolina, and classes were done, and I was supposed to head home like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a five and a half hour drive. I waited. I waited for a couple, 7 hours. I waited until it was about 10 p.m., and I was like, I'll be fine. I'm young. So I got in my car about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and decided to drive home. I remember when I got to Spaghetti Junction. Now, Spaghetti Junction in Atlanta is this place where a bunch of interstates all come together, and it's just this big mess of interstate stuff. I remember getting there. I don't remember anything after. I was singing Bottles of Beer on the wall. Don't judge me. Say root beer if you need to, but I was just trying to stay focused. I was just trying. And so I had started, you know, several miles back. About the time I had crossed the Georgia border, I'm just singing it. You know, I started about 200. I remember getting to Spaghetti Junction. I was somewhere in the upper 90s. The next thing that I know, I'm somewhere in the 70s, and I'm miles from Spaghetti Junction. I'm not dead, so apparently I just kept driving, but I have no awareness of that. I feel confident. I was sleep driving. I feel confident of that. Sometimes you just fall asleep when you least expect it. You get so tired. You get so worn out. Road fatigue is a thing. I can be wide awake, but the hum of the tires, you know what I mean? Just bzzz. And if you're driving in Georgia and you're on like Interstate 10 going down to the coast, there's nothing. Look, I'm not joking. There's nothing. Like every 15 or 20 miles, there's like a gas station, but there's nothing to look at. It's just this. And after a while, it's like you can just be lulled back into sleep. That can happen in life, and that can certainly happen in faith. That can absolutely happen to you. Here is what I have had in my life. I have had some unbelievable God experiences in my life. I have seen things that just, they defy. If I told you, you'd call me a liar. I've seen God work supernaturally. I have had supernatural God experiences where I know that God touched me, both from the outside in and from the inside out. I have had people speak into my life who didn't know me, who told me things that were happening in my life that there's no way that they could know. This was before Facebook. I wasn't, you know, emotionally devolving on social media and let everybody know what was happening in my life. That's not a judgment, but I'm saying maybe you could settle down with that. This was before all that. I've had these experiences, and yet I have fallen back asleep in my faith and found myself doubting the very God who one moment ago did something amazing for me or in my life or in the lives of people that I cared for. I've had powerful, vicarious spiritual experiences. I've seen people who have been bound both spiritually and with all kinds of stuff you can imagine come out of that and just turn their lives around. I've seen addictions broken. I've seen people who were really not good people 180 degrees and turn into these people that I could barely recognize. I was one of those people. And yet, I've fallen back to sleep spiritually in my life before. It's interesting because it's not just me. It's not just you. It happens to everybody. It happened to the disciples. I struggle so much with that. I struggle so much with thinking that here is a group of people who experienced Jesus Christ, the man, the myth, the miniseries. They were there with him. They walked with him and talked with him. They saw him do things. He walked on the water. The water became wine. He laid his hands on deaf and mute and blind and sick and demon-possessed people, and they weren't any of those things anymore. He did these amazing, they were just miracle after miracle after miracle. They heard him pray. They saw his passion. They experienced his love for them and for God. He told them what was going to happen. He said it to them. He said, listen, And I want to give them a break, because who could possibly understand? Who could possibly understand when someone says to you, look, this temple is going to be destroyed, but in 3 days it's going to come back? That's a little obscure and a little obtuse Jesus. And then he tried to feed them slowly but surely. He started with that milk type of deal of, let me give you some hyperbole and let me give you some parabolic statements. And then slowly but surely, he finally got to things like, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Listen, I have got to die in order that you may have life. I mean, he stopped all the sideways, weird analogies and allegories and went right to it. And they still were like, brr, ro-ro. They just couldn't quite, I have no idea where Scooby came from, please forgive me. They just couldn't quite get it. And everything happened the way that he said, according to the way that he said it would happen. And he went to the cross, and he was crucified, and they buried him. And he was in a tomb. And then the tomb was opened, and some ladies showed up, and Jesus wasn't there. Exactly like he said it was going to go down. There wasn't a change to the story. He didn't take a left. It was exactly how he said it was going to go down. And this is the kind of response. These are the kind of responses that they had. This is out of Matthew. They literally see Jesus post-death, post-resurrection, scars still there, but wounds healed, was dead, is now alive. And when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some did not believe. This is Mark. She, Mary, who'd been down to the tomb, she went and told his followers. They were crying because of much sorrow, but they did not believe her when she said she had seen him alive. This is Luke. In Luke's version, it's more than one woman who goes. It's more than one woman who experiences the empty tomb. It's more than one woman who sees the angels who are saying, not sure what you're looking for. If you run it back a few days, you knew that this was coming. If you can just rewind in your mind a couple of weeks ago, Jesus has been saying this to you, all of you, for a while. So if you're looking for him, he's not here. Clearly, he has risen from the grave. So they go and tell, and this is what's in, their words sounded like foolish talk. The followers did not believe them. What happens to us that we can come into church and we can sing and we can experience and we see God in the lives of one another and we see God in our own lives and we experience that lifting of faith when the Holy Spirit comes alive within us? What happens that somehow by day's end, by week's end, by month's end, we are back to this dull sense, this place of just sort of sleepwalking through it? Yeah, it was true on Sunday, but I'm not sure if it's true by Wednesday. Yeah, it was real for me on Sunday, but in the past couple weeks, it has been rough. I've lost this. This has happened. I prayed for this, and this didn't occur. And suddenly, we're back to that. We're walking through our faith, dead asleep. Peter. It happened to Peter. Peter! Listen, say what you want about Peter, because he said a lot. Say what you want about Peter. He was focused and he was clued in and he was the question asker and he was the guy who wanted to step out. He was the guy who brought the sword. He had a sword. You weren't supposed to have a sword in Roman occupied Israel, but he had one, which marked him along with the zealots, and the zealots were bad people. They were what we would say in our day and age, they were terrorists. I want to be careful with that word, but they were so intent on destroying the Roman occupation that they killed folks just in the name of religious freedom. That's what they did. Peter has a sword, which marks him as a person that he's not even in his heart and in his mind, but he brings that sword because he loves Jesus and he wants to protect him. It's Peter who says to Jesus, Lord, I hear what you're saying, and it sounds like to me that you're going to be taken captive and you're going to be killed, you're going to be executed. That's never going to happen to you. And Jesus finally looks at Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Listen, I don't know what dirty words you've thought of in your life or who you've said them to, but it does not get any worse than for somebody to look at you and say, hey, Satan, why don't you take a step back? Couldn't get any harsher than that. But this is Peter, because Peter's full of compassion and Peter's full of energy and he's full of intensity and he is full of belief. It is Peter who says to Jesus, you are the Christ. Jesus says, who are people saying that I am? I know there's a lot of scuttlebutt. I know the gossip. Some say Elijah, some say Moses. Who do you say that I am? You are Jesus the Christ. You are Mashiach. You're the one we've been waiting on. You're the one we heard about in yeshiva, in school, for years and years. You're the one that the old folks have been talking about for forever. You're the one that the prophets pointed to thousands of years ago. You are Mashiach. You are Jesus the Christ. That was Peter who said that. it was also Peter who heard that he was going to deny Jesus. Peter heard that he was going to fall back asleep. The work and person and power of Jesus was going to wear off on him when his own life was threatened. If you don't know that story, the story is all the disciples except for John and Peter desert Jesus. John and Peter go down all the way to the temple, and they're in the courtyards. John is known to the high priest. We think from historical evidence that that's how Peter got in, because John was known, and he just probably said, this guy's with me. And so they're in the courts. And Jesus has said to Peter, Peter, I know you love me, and I know you think you're intent on saving me, and I know you think you and I are connected, and I know you think that nothing can separate us, but I'm telling you, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter says, absolutely, it'll never happen. And sure enough, there he is in the courtyard. And a servant girl comes out. And we don't know what it is. We don't know if it was the dress. We don't know if it was the twang in his voice. We don't know how it is that she recognized him to be different than the other people that were there. We don't know why it is that she knew that he'd been with Jesus. But she says to him, you were one of the guys with him, right? Weren't you with this guy? This guy that they're questioning right now, the guy that they're getting ready to beat half to death? You were with him? Nope. Not me. And he sort of walks away, tries to fade into the night. What happened, Peter? What happened? He told you everything that was going to happen. You've seen his deeds. You've heard his words. You've felt his love. What happened? He goes over to another garbage can fire. There's another big steel drum. Probably not, but there's another big steel drum hobo fire happening. They're warming their hands, s'mores. I don't know what's going on. Because everybody's interested in what's happening with this guy, because this guy's been known. This rabbi, this iconoclast, has become known. We don't know if he's a seditionist or not, but it's happening, and we want to be there for it. So he's warming his hands again. And depending on the version that you read, the gospel that you read, it's the same servant girl or another. Servant girl comes up and says, you look familiar to me. You are one of the ones who's been following him. You're one of the people. And Peter gets adamant. Nope, not me. Absolutely not. I'm just here to figure out what happens. I'm here for the popcorn. I'm here for the free food. I'm here for the buffet. I'm not. Wasn't with him. I'm not that guy. And so he walks completely out of the court because he's been recognized twice. Two times. Has Peter forgotten the words? Has Peter forgotten that Jesus said, three times, baby boy, three times, this is what's going to happen. One, two, three. We're at two right now. Where is Peter in his mind? He's asleep. He is dead asleep in his faith. And I'm going to give him some credit because it's a terrifying situation, because Jesus is going to be killed and he's probably sure that anybody attached to him is going to be killed as well. So I can understand his fear of death right now. But he has denied Jesus twice, just like Jesus said. So he goes outside of the court and he goes to the gate. And another servant girl. At this point in time, you're just like, all servant girls are the worst. What is wrong with you? And how do you know everything? That's what I want to know, because they're waiters and waitresses. Listen, be careful what you talk about in the restaurants, because we hear you. I don't wait tables anymore, but I used to. You want to hear some great stories? I could give you some great stories about what people said just sitting right there in front of me. I was just like, I'm going to go get you some tea. We don't know. If it was the second or the third, doesn't matter. He's outside of the gate, and he's at the last hobo fire because he's still trying to stay within earshot and within view of his Savior. So we think. And the servant girl comes up and says, no, you were one of his guys. You weren't just one of that 10,000, 50,000, we don't know. You weren't one of that massive group of people that just sort of followed him around the lake. You ever see that in your mind? How he just went around the lake and 5,000 people? It was like the earliest NASCAR. You know what I'm saying? Like they just kept following him around the loop. No, you weren't just one of the big group of people. You were the one that was with him 24/7. You were with him all the time. You were one of his disciples. And Peter curses at her. Let me get this straight. You've been hanging out with God's Son for 3 years. You've seen him walk on water. You've seen you have felt, you've been in this man's presence. You have heard his teaching. Things that he has said to you has changed you so much that you can see him for who he is. And this person comes up and says, you're one of his crew, and you curse at them. I do not know this man. And he curses. What happens next? Anybody? Yeah, the rooster crows. The rooster crows. And Peter has one of those moments that I think we have all had. One of those moments when we suddenly come awake and realize how our faith has shrunk. And we have one of those moments because maybe it happens to you in church. Maybe you've just been kind of blah and you've been sleepwalking, but then you come and sit down in church and you feel that presence and you wake up to it and you think, what have I been doing my whole week? I haven't spoken with him. I haven't read my word. I've just been barely hanging on. Here he is, filling me with his spirit again. Here he is, touching my life. Here he is, bringing me into his presence. Happens to me sometimes. I'm not gonna lie to you. I sit here sometimes and I shed a tear. Don't judge me. I do, because I think, man, what have you been doing? Why haven't you just been living in this? Why have you been waiting till Sunday to get here and experience that? He has that wake-up moment. Peter hears the sound of that animal, and he begins to weep uncontrollably. We all fall asleep. We all fall asleep. Here's the great thing, though. If every time you fell asleep, Jesus pulled away from you, you'd be in some serious trouble. If every time you fell asleep, another sacrifice had to be made in order for you to be right with God, holy smokes, we would be in some trouble. But the great thing about the sacrifice Jesus made was that it was once for all. And every time you wake up, he's waiting for you. Every time. God doesn't run the cross back in your life every time you fall asleep, waiting for you to acknowledge him, waiting for you to be grateful, waiting for you to be thankful, waiting for you to praise him. He doesn't run the cross back, and then once he sees that good behavior, once he sees that you're clued back in, once he sees you're awake, then suddenly the forgiveness is yours, and the peace is yours, and the grace is yours, and the mercy. Nope, all of that stuff is yours, whether you're awake or asleep. So why don't we wake up and live in that instead of staying asleep? Here's the great thing about Jesus. Go to John chapter 21 with me, please. An amazing story. John chapter 21. Pretty familiar text if you've been around the church at all. But I want you to see what happens here. This is chapter 21, verses 15 and following. A little bit of context. Peter and the disciples have seen Jesus. This is John's account. Peter and the disciples have seen Jesus, and then Jesus departs from them. And so Peter says, and you can read back a few verses, Peter says, I'm going fishing. Isn't it interesting how we go back to what we know when we don't understand? Isn't that interesting how we return to our habit patterns? Isn't it interesting where something happens in your life and you don't know what to do with it, so you just go back to what you know. You go back to doing what you were doing. You go back to being who you were. Isn't that interesting? Peter says, I'm going fishing. And the man must have had a lot on his mind because he fished all night long. He just fished and he fished and he fished. And so that morning, they've caught nothing because some of the boys have gone with him. I mean, they're kind of staying together because they don't know what to do. Jesus died. He came back exactly as he said. And now they're like, so what happens? What happens now? Jesus is on the beach. He calls them in. Huge haul of fish, another miracle. Barely bring the net in. They come in. Jesus has food prepared for them. This is verse 15. When they were finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Pretty innocuous. Okay, yes, Lord, you, yes, more than anybody, more than anything. I forsook family, I forsook job, I forsook everything. I forsaked it all to follow you. Yeah. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Jesus said to Peter the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, take care of my sheep. See, the first time, everything was okay, but here's something you need to know about the number three in Scripture. The number three is important because it grows with intensity every iteration. So at this point, because of rabbinical tradition, Jesus said it once, then he asked the exact same question again. Peter knows what's coming, and you have to know that he's thinking, for Jesus to ask me once is one thing, for him to ask me twice, but I have this horrible feeling. I know what's coming. Jesus said to Peter the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt bad, Because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He answered, Jesus, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Think it was an accident that there were three denials and then three restorations? You think there was an accident? You think Jesus maybe, he thought, I'm looking for some symmetry here. I told Peter three over on this side, probably three on my side as well. Did you see what happened with Peter? The first time he said, no, not me. The second time he said, no, that's not me. I'm not that guy. The third time he said, I curse you. That's not me. And then they're sitting together on the beach and Jesus says, do you love me? Peter says, yes. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Then he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes. Jesus says, feed my lambs. And Jesus says a third time, Peter, do you love me? And Jesus says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. On the other side of every nap that you take in your life, in your spiritual walk, on the other side of that is restoration for you every time. Every time you wake back up to who Jesus is, he's there in the fullness of his power. He is there in the fullness of his love. He's there in the fullness of his understanding. He's there in the fullness of his grace. And he's there with purpose for you every time. But we have to choose. We have to choose. Jesus tells Peter, right after he restores him, he says, listen, there's going to come a time. You know, you've been where you've wanted to go. You've walked where you've wanted to walk, but there's going to be a time when somebody's going to take you by the hand and lead you to a place that you don't want to go. They're going to decide where you go. He was telling Peter about how he was going to die. He was talking to Peter about eventually your freedom is going to be taken from you, and you will die for me. And then in verse 19, he says, follow me. That's the call for you this morning. You know what the problem is. The problem is we all sleepwalk. But there's power for you to wake up and to stay woke by the power of His Holy Spirit. You can awaken to the reality of who God is every day in your life. And if you understand that there's a problem and you get that there's power, then you don't have to worry about the potential for you to fall back asleep. Because there's also the potential for you to stay awake. But potential is nothing until it's activated. Old school math, anybody? Kinetic energy, potential energy. Kinetic energy is something that's just going, right? As your car is driving, that's kinetic. Your car comes up to the top of the hill and stops. It is no longer kinetic. There's a lot of potential energy. All you got to do is move forward. All you got to do is move forward, and that resting energy becomes the energy of motion. You got to choose this morning. If you follow him, then it's all about kinetic. It's all about the energy of motion. Follow him. If you stay focused, I wish I could tell you that you're not ever going to fall asleep again. But I fall asleep. But here's the truth. By the power of the Spirit, you can wake up time after time after time. And you can keep moving forward. Because there's the potential for you to truly be who he created you to be. There's a potential for you to truly become the person he created for you to become. And there's the potential for you to serve him in the way that he created you to serve. But you've got to choose. Are you going to follow him? Because following is about motion. It's about movement. It's about moving forward. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, because this is about you and Jesus. This is about you and Jesus. Here's what I want to know. I just want to pray with you. And I'm serious about this. If you have been asleep, if you have just been sleepwalking through your faith, if the dailies of life, if the grind of life has just put you to sleep and you are ready to wake up and to stay awake, if I can just see a hand really quickly. Amen, 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 amen. Father, you see these hands. There are people in this building this morning who have awakened to who you are. They engage you to the best of their ability. None of us are perfect, God, but you're not asking us to be perfect. You asked Abraham to be perfect, knowing that he couldn't. But what you ask us to do is to love you with everything that we've got and to love each other at least as much as we love ourselves. And if we're on that track, then we are engaged and we are awake. There are people in this building that are awake this morning. God, I pray that you would keep them awake. I pray, Father, by the power of your Spirit, they would see you in their lives. I pray, Father, you would work in them and through them in their lives and in their circumstances. Use them, God, and the people around them. Cause us to have these divine appointments with people who need you, who need the truth that we have. Use us, God, to change the people around us. But Father, there are people, you saw those hands, and my hand is one of those raised. We need to wake us up, God. We need to stay woke in Jesus' name. We need the power of your Spirit to waken us to a daily life with you, to a daily forward motion with you, to follow you every day. This is not about being some kind of Bible-thumping weirdo. This is just about engaging you intentionally in every aspect and every area of our lives, with our money, with our time, with our relationships, with our future, with our focus. We just want to engage you in everything that we do. There's the potential for us to be the people that you created us to be, and we will never truly be fulfilled until we become those people. So God, wake us up in Jesus' name and keep us awake by the power of your Spirit. Light that fire. Burn it within us, Father. Turn it on so that we can be the people you need us to be and the people we so desperately want to be. Awaken us, God, to your love, to your grace, to your mercy, and to your power. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Amen. Will you give the Lord a hand this morning? Amen.